This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Ashley, I thought of you last night as I was watching some news coverage with some images of different European capitals all over Europe and tens of thousands of people protesting the COVID mandates. What is going on? What is the latest there in Rome?
Yes, in fact, there have been protests indeed, John, in Rome, in Milan, in Turin, Padova, Naples, various big cities throughout the country of Italy, protesting specifically for equal freedoms for all citizens, protesting against the super green pass regulations that are now in play here. And that simply means that a super green pass, which is a proof of vaccination or a proof of recovery, is required to get onto public transportation, to enter into a restaurant, for example. And so the protests were really sparked by the Italian government threatening to fine and to arrest anyone who's over 50 and not vaccinated. And the health minister, Roberto Speranza, was asked how he would know, how they would know, you know, who to target to arrest. And he said that simply they would create lists from the National Health Database. Well, you can imagine that then opened another debate, as that is, of course, allegedly to be accessed only for security purposes, thus making that a violation of privacy. So the people are holding up signs during these protests that say things like, get off of our constitution. In other words, stop violating the constitution, directed specifically toward our Italian president and our premier, Mario Draghi. So indeed, these protests are going on. They are continuing in all of these cities, and people are trying to get their voices heard.
And this is not just in Italy. This is going on all over Europe, in Paris, in Austria, in Budapest, in many countries around Europe. People are really looking for freedom. They just feel like these mandates are just too much.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And so you will see that people are specifically bringing in now, you're seeing a lot of big name people in Italy, at least, who are speaking at these events. Also in Milan, for example, the Milan protest was just attended by Luc Montagnier, who is the French virologist, Nobel Prize winner in 2008. People, more and more people are being vocal and speaking out against these really, really strict mandates.
And this is something that you're just not hearing about, you're not seeing in the mainstream media here in the U.S. Let's shift gears and let's talk about the Holy Father, Pope Francis. What was his main message this morning in his Wednesday audience?
Well, today he continued his catechetical series, John, on St. Joseph, and he spoke about St. Joseph as a loving father and how in that role, Joseph really reflected God's tenderness. So he looked at what that means, the idea of God's tender love, and he said it's the experience of feeling loved, feeling welcomed, even in all of one's weaknesses, and at the same time, allowing the love to transform a person. And so Pope Francis today pointed out that although the Gospels, of course, don't tell us much about how Saint Joseph lived as a father, how he carried out his fatherly duties, Scripture does say that he was a just man. So that leads us to understand that he would have shown such incredible, just, loving care in the way that he raised Jesus. And so then the Pope looked at the Father in the parable of the prodigal son, and showing how the story not only recounts an experience of sin and of forgiveness, but also the way a father shows mercy to his son. So the Pope said that same loving tenderness is something that actually defies the logic of the world, because one should always remember that God cannot be, quote, frightened by our sins or our mistakes or our failures, but instead, the thing that God is, quote, frightened by, according to the Pope, is the closure of our hearts, or a lack of faith in his love. So today the Pope asked all the faithful to reflect on personal experiences of God's tender love, and also to mirror themselves in St. Joseph's paternity, to make themselves a parent like St. Joseph. He called it encouraging a revolution of tenderness. And he said that the best way to do it well is to receive the sacrament of confession, because there in the sacrament of reconciliation is where one encounters God's mercy and experiences his truth and tenderness, John.
And Ashley, once again, we are underway with the week for the prayer for Christian unity that goes on
yes.
every year in our Catholic Church. What's going on from the Rome perspective?
Right. This is the 55th annual, and indeed there are various ecumenical events going on this week. There's talks, there's services, there's masses, all according to that theme, We Saw His Star in the East, which of course was created by the Middle East Council of Churches. They developed the theme this year, and so we're especially united with Christians in the Middle East as we pray that they may all be one. Of course, those words of Christ himself from John 17, 21. And this will all culminate in the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls on the solemnity of the conversion of St. Paul, with a second Vespers celebrated by the Pope coming up on the 25th. So this is a time where we are all invited to unite in prayer for Christian unity, John.
It's a beautiful thing, and that's a beautiful, magnificent Basilica of St. Paul outside the
yes.
walls. What a great setting to celebrate this Christian unity and to strive for it, something that all the Holy Fathers in my lifetime have been trying to do.
Right.
I think of St. John Paul II, who talked about the right and the left lung of the Catholic faith, mm-hmm. How he wanted to see everybody really come together. And I think that kind of unity to be one as Jesus and the Father are one is needed more than ever before right now. We have so much in common with our separated brothers and sisters.
Yes, in fact, and Christ, of course, told us in John 17, 21, that when we are one, that so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So it's then that they will know. So let's do it. Let's get together.
Absolutely. One other note, the theme has been revealed for the upcoming mm-hmm. Jubilee year of 2025.
Yes.
So what is the theme?
Yes. Can you imagine? It's time to start planning for 2025. The theme is Pilgrims of Hope. So this is, of course, a time when the church will celebrate an entire Jubilee year. Going back, the tradition goes all the way back to the year 1300, but of course, taken from the inspiration from the book of Leviticus, this idea of setting aside years of Jubilee traditionally in Mosaic times, this was for the freeing of slaves and the forgiveness of debts as manifestations of God's mercy. So this same idea of as a year of mercy continues. The last ordinary Jubilee was the year 2000 under Pope St. John Paul II. I remember it well. And of course, you may remember we just had a Jubilee year not so long ago, and that was an extraordinary Jubilee year that was called by Pope Francis in 2015. So this is very exciting. The Pontifical Council for the Promotion of a New Evangelization is already starting to prepare. This is a great time to start thinking about coming to Rome in 2025 to celebrate this year, to pass through the holy door of St. Peter's Basilica and the other major basilicas in Rome whose holy doors will be open during this year. So, of course, this is a reminder as we pass through that door, of course, of John 10, of Christ telling us that he is the door, that if anyone who enters through him, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So when one walks through the door, we can also receive a plenary indulgence in keeping with the typical five conditions of the church. So lots of excitement, Pilgrims of Hope. Time to start planning for 2025, John.
Lots to be hopeful for, and we hope that by 2025, the COVID pandemic will be history and in the rearview
yes.
mirror. Real quickly, a couple of celebrations for two feast days, one that already happened and one coming up. Real brief, we've got about a minute.
Okay. Well, St. Anthony Abbot, of course, which just happened the other day, he is the protector of cattle and farm animals up and down Italy, John. People brought animals, all kinds, sheep, pigs, cows, anything to their local parish church so that they could be blessed. And indeed, typically here at the Vatican, local farmers bring their animals too, although that was canceled this year. Let's hope for the best for next year. But we're looking forward to the Feast of St. Agnes on the 21st, where Pope Francis will honor the tradition of the blessing of the lambs, and the wool of those two little lambs is going to be used to make the pallia, or the stoles that are worn by the Metropolitan Archbishops here. All kinds of events going on in Italy, including a famous one in Varese, where they light a huge ball of paper and flowers on fire, representing the stake to which Agnes was tied, which of course the fire is miraculously put out. And so indeed, lots of rich ways to celebrate our saints, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.